You're listening to the Burnham Society Podcasts. I'm your host, Rowan Bristol, proprietor of Bristol Books. Bristol Books, just south of the Lifeline Theater and north of Evil Squirrel Comics. Major booksellers sell you everything, and they go out of business. I sell you nothing, and I'm still here. There's a lesson to be learned, I think. Today's Burnham Society shout-out goes to Coffee Imp Productions over at coffee-imp.com. Despite what you may think from our previous podcast, Coffee Imp is not an infernal barista working out of Charmer's Cafe. That would be Ted. He's just evil. Coffee Imp Productions is the design studio of noted artist and gastromaniac Sonnet Shaline. Sonnet, through a combination of eldritch magic and ADD, is a painter, illustrator, designer, sculptor, doll maker, and a bunch of other things that make my personal achievement of getting out of bed this morning pale in comparison. Sonnet produced four art pieces that can be seen over at the Burnham Society Facebook page. Each picture reflects an aspect of the world that will be experienced in the audio dramas, with styles ranging from the elegance of Louis Sullivan to the brutalist whimsy of a takeout menu. Sonnet visualized the heart and soul of our stories, so we could ultimately put them on t-shirts, coffee mugs, and any other junk we can think of to make a quick buck. And why did she do this? When she knew we would exploit her faster than a film studio with the back catalog of a dead science fiction author? She's mad. I mean super mad. Bats in the belfry, toys in the attic, tea with the Hatter crazy. So to Sonnet, I shall thank you in your native tongue. Boogity boogity, zip zip gamma rays, aluminum foil, squirrel. Which brings us to tonight's topic. Fairies. Do you believe in fairies? Really and truly believe in fairies? If so, you're part of the problem. Although few in number, the variety of creatures inhabiting and working in Chicago is extensive. There are 16 varieties of goblin alone, along with sprites, pixies, nixies, dixies, doxies, poxies, and trolls. And it doesn't matter one bit if you believe in them or not. Richard Dawkins passes through an ogre's alimentary canals just as easily as any Harry Potter fetishist. However, for one class of creature, our belief is their meat and milk, and many generations ago, they came to our world in order to turn it into a factory farm. Be they called the Fair Folk, the Bright Ones, the She, the Tuatha De Danann, or the Svartalfar, they all represent the same kind of creature. And unlike the creatures that came to our world as immigrants, these were invaders. They were beautiful, terrible, and insanely powerful, made all the more powerful by our belief in them. For the Bright Ones, belief isn't like food or breath. It's like iodine. Just enough and they live and thrive. But too little and they grow sluggish and can just wither away. Too much and they go insane. But the power they can gain from our belief is a drug few of them ever shy away from. It took our world's greatest heroes to keep them from taking over. Even then, the stories of clusters of Bright Ones stealing children to keep up their stores of belief while throwing one of their runts out into the mortal world was as common as our legends of prom night dumpster babies feasting on corsages and empty promise rings. I would love to say that our modern sense of rationalism and humanism served as a bulwark against a foe that was determined to use our world as the spiritual equivalent of a veal pen. But their propaganda is just too damned good. They are beautiful, and so long as we believe in them, their power is only limited by our imagination. It's not just that they can grant the wishes of our deepest hearts. They can make us not care about the cost. And that cost, for our city, was terrible. I've been asked why all the creatures that inhabit our fair city began their lives as outsiders. Why, you ask, doesn't the magical element of our town begin until 1893? Was there something special about Tesla coils and Vienna sausage that brought magic to the land? First off, yes. If you combine Tesla coils and Vienna sausage, you get goblins. But that's for another podcast. Secondly, the reason I don't talk about the locals is that even now, it's pretty dangerous to speak of the dead. If you take the time to read DuSable's secret journals, and I suggest you do, you'll find accounts of spirits, monsters, and entities as rich and varied as any other place in the world. The land of wild onions was rich with life that thrived both inside and outside our existence. And as people came to the land and built it into a town and later a city, that life grew and thrived within it. Those that came to the city brought their fellow travelers with. the mixing of cultures and worlds made Chicago a lively, if chaotic and messy, hub. And then the city fathers brought the bright ones in. I'd love to believe that folks like Hubbard and Field were bespelled and enchanted by Taran, Talafiara, and the rest of the Winter Court, that it wasn't greed, classism, and rank bigotry that made them think that bringing these monsters to Chicago was a good idea. But Talafiara took one look at a sweltering city full of the dreams of the common man, living side by side with an interbreeding of the otherworldly, and said, "This will not do." Words she spoke on October 7th, 1871. Just as our inspiration feeds the bright ones trigger inspiration in us. Talafiara already had a legion of millionaires thinking of what the city could be, while her foot soldiers took an interest in a craps game between Pegleg Sullivan, the O'Leary boys, and Lewis Cohn in a hayloft. Gambling, excitement, and passion. More than enough power to take a careless moment and weave it into a conflagration that wiped out 4 square miles, hundreds of people, and the entire community of native and mixed supernaturals. It also sent a warning to all the other lands. Chicago belonged to the Bright Ones. After the fire, the Winter Court's mortals rebuilt according to Talafiara's design. A separate city was constructed, meant to be a beacon of inspiration to all mankind, and the gateway to a new and fresh invasion. That city, too, ended in fire, with the aid of the sorcerers of the sacred schools of architecture, the assassination of a mayor, and one excitable baby dragon. From those ashes emerged an organization devoted to keeping an eye on the magic of the land and the now deposed fairy leadership. The Burnham Society. So when you read of magical lands and beautiful kings, of glittering wings and the promise of wishes, keep your hands at your sides and let that bitch Tinkerbell just die. Captain Hook saw the truth, and the hordes of Neverland are closer than you think. That's all for now. I'll be back with next week with news, profiles, and how Mies van der Rohe founded the Old Town School of Black Magic. Although I have no desire to sell you my books, we'd love to hear from you and answer your questions. You can reach us through the Burnham Society Facebook page at burnhamsociety.madeafail.net or email me at rowan.bristol@gmail.com. I will try to answer your questions. Until next week, remember that every time an iPhone rings, another fairy burns to death. So keep those calls coming. Farewell.